Hi. Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. We have a great episode for you today. My guest is Courtney Friel, who is a KTLA news anchor and gorgeous and really fun. And I loved talking to her. And also her husband, Jim Hecht, has also been on an episode of my podcast from, I think, like a couple years ago. I want to say 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half. But basically, I love their story because Jim was on my podcast and talked about how he had been dating Courtney, but they broke up. And I gave him a little love advice and he followed the advice, reached out to her, they reconnected, and the rest is history. I don't want to give myself 100% credit, but I definitely gave them advice and now they're married. And I love that story. So it was so cool to kind of come full circle and speak with Courtney and learn more about her because I hadn't met her yet. We have a lot of mutual friends and she's super awesome. So yay for that. And oh, by the way, the advice I gave him was to write her a letter of 100 things you love about her. And I've talked about this before on my podcast. And the reason I came up with this is because I had done this for guys in my relationship in the past. You know, when I wanted to quote unquote win a guy back or get his attention after a breakup or like a big fight, is that I want to go to like grandiose lengths to try to get them to kind of like pay attention to me. And this is like a super romantic gesture, but I wrote 100 things I love about X being the guy's name who I was with. And this is so shitty of me, but I have done this. It works so well that I have done this to 3 guys at this point and they all loved it. And one or two, maybe 2 of them ended up giving me a letter back and using the same technique or tool, whatever you want to call it. And it feels really good to receive it. I mean, it's really vulnerable to write it, but if you can also receive it too, it's awesome. And then a couple years went by and I went through a really bad breakup, and decided I needed to use this tool for myself. So this is an exercise as well that you can use for yourself or building up your self-worth and that connection with yourself. So you're writing 100 things you love about yourself. And I just told a friend to do this the other day, but I told him to do 20 things because 100 is fucking hard and it's daunting, but it's a really good little pick me up and it sounds like a narcissistic exercise, but I actually think it's good to connect and realize like what it is that's great about you and to just pick yourself up when you need that pick me up. And like, it's also expanding to knowing like there's more about you than the surface things. Like, example for me, like I'm more than just a comedian with a podcast and a writer. I am, you know, and those are the things that I'm super focused on the most. But besides being a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a friend. And like, but it's not even that. It's like, you know, I would go on to be like, I'm a good friend. Like I care about, you know, I care about my friend's problems. And like, I don't know, like I'm funny, I'm a good cook. Like, expanding further on the qualities and traits that you have and the skills and hobbies and stuff, is just very helpful. And, see, even off the top of my head right now, I'm having a hard time coming up with things, but I did do that exercise alongside like affirmations and literally speaking to myself in the mirror and pumping myself up, which sounds like wacky and it feels very goofy, but it's helpful. Like recently I was having a big fight with Steven and we were in San Diego and, he got pretty upset with me and like stormed out of our hotel room and I didn't know what to do with myself and I felt upset and I put my friend Stacia Patwell's School of Thought workout video on and I started doing this workout video and it started to make me feel super empowered. She's an amazing teacher. But I literally walked into the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror, and I just started like affirming myself. And it's something that I've done before in the past. So it kind of felt like a muscle memory jolt to like give this idea to myself. But I was like, no, like I am strong. I am paying for this fucking hotel room this weekend. Like, I'm an amazing person. I'm talented. Like, I got this. Like, I'm lovable. And it made me feel so much better. I swear to God, I Stella got her groove back my ass and like walked out of that bathroom filled with so much confidence. I almost packed his fucking suitcase up and put it by the door and was like, yeah, leave, dick. We ended up making up that day. But, you know, all these little tricks are helpful and they exist. So use them when you need them is my point. Anyways, let's get into the ad. This episode is sponsored by Pre-Mama Wellness. And I had come across them on Instagram and you know, Steven and I were in the process of trying to get pregnant. We did put a brief pause on it since we both got vaccinated. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it was safe, for lack of a better kind of way to say it. So, you know, we just took a couple months off and we were honestly fighting for a couple months too. So like, you know, COVID shit, all good. We're in a good place now. It happens. So we'll be starting up again in a couple months, but I firmly believe in prenatal vitamins and, you know, got to take them. So when I came across Pre-Mama Wellness and talked to them, they wanted to sponsor an episode. So I'm so excited. So let me just tell you a little bit about them. For all the ladies and the guys with ladies in their life, Pre-Mama Wellness creates bioavailable supplements for each stage of your parenthood journey. From trying to conceive through pregnancy, breastfeeding, and postpartum recovery support. Pre-Mama Wellness vitamins are gluten-free, non-GMO, vegan, and vegetarian with no synthetic flavors or added fillers. Pre-Mama Fertility Support for Her Drink Mix is the number one selling over-the-counter fertility supplement. It's flavorless and can be mixed in any non-carbonated beverage to support healthy ovulation and egg quality. Pre-Mama's Fertility Support for Him Drink mix optimizes male fertility, enhancing sperm count, quality, mobility, and motility. Did you know sperm count is down by 50% in the last 3 decades? I had no idea about that. It takes two to tango. So it's not always the girl. Sometimes it's the guy. So you can each have your own drink mix to support fertility for the guy and the girl, which, you know, makes it equal and fun. And it's, you know, everyone's doing their part. And we love that because the girl's going to be doing her part for like 10 months. So the guys have to at least drink a drink for 30 days. Do your part, guys. Pre-Mama also makes a minty fresh prenatal vitamin that contains all the essential nutrients to support a healthy pregnancy. Nutrients such as folate, gentle iron, choline, and vegan omega-3s, to name a few. They use a duo capsule technology so that any possible stomach upsetting nutrients such as iron or folate are absorbed later in your digestive tract, while the liquid nutrients are absorbed earlier. All in a once daily tiny capsule. Support your conception with Pre-Mama Wellness using code SKIDMORESHOW, that's SKIDMORESHOW in all caps, to receive 15% off at checkout. Visit premamawellness.com and be sure to follow at Pre-Mama Wellness on Instagram and YouTube. All right, guys, make sure you check out Pre-Mama Wellness and let's get back to the show. Hi, welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm so excited to have today's guest on. She is a KTLA Channel 5 anchor, Courtney Friel. Hi, Courtney.
It's so great to finally meet you in person. I feel like we've been Instagram watching each other.
I know. You look exactly like Margot Robbie.
Oh, I get that all the time.
I waited to say it on the mic so everyone knows.
Except I'm the original because I'm 10 years older and 10 pounds heavier.
No, you literally look identical to her. It's crazy.
Have you met her?
No.
No.
But I guess I thought of when I saw you, I was like, oh, she looks like Margot Robbie. And then I thought about, I can't even remember the name of the movie that she just did. All the reporters.
Oh, Bombshell.
Bombshell.
Right. So many people asked me, was that your character? Because I did work at Fox News.
Really?
For 6 years. But she's kind of a made up character. And after watching the movie, most definitely, that was not me.
Yeah.
Although I did have, I mean, I kind of got a little PTSD watching that movie because I had icky experiences with Roger Ailes too.
So. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So that is like, was that based? Oh, I really did not mean to start like
with
in this area. I just made the connection of news.
I mean, a lot of those
Robbie.
Things happen, and a lot of us that worked there had weird experience with him. I started working there when I was 26, and so I was a little green to the whole just world. Everyone just seemed sexist there, and so I thought, okay, these are just like dirty old men. I called it DOMS, dirty old man symptoms, or dirty old man syndrome. Every man has one.
Yeah, that's so true. Was that in New York or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So from 2007 to 13, I worked at Fox News Channel, and then I've been at KTLA for the past 8 years.
Wow. That's so amazing and crazy. I mean, I imagine it's hard to get a job as like an actual, I mean, I have no idea like what the path is like,
right.
But I am like, my only indication is like from watching that movie and seeing how hard it is to get on air. So like, I imagine it was like a very,
it's different now because there are so many online opportunities and ways to get experience where people see it as opposed to just like, you know, doing something at home. But the traditional way before was you'd go to a smaller market. So I put my demo reel together. I interned at the NBC station in San Diego and made my tape and then sent it out. I sent out 8 tapes. And have you heard of Jackson, Tennessee? Because I had not. Jackson, Tennessee was one of the places I sent my tape to. And they offered me the job like over the phone. I went and saw it. It was like this pink Quonset hut in the middle of this park where gay men would have like meet for to have sex.
Yeah.
In the middle
in the bushes in a park kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I'd be driving in and there would be a guy in a turquoise crop top like waiting by his car to like meet up. Muse Park in the middle of the Bible Belt.
But I'm
Tennessee.
Sure, like, how old were you then?
So I would have been 23, and I was the main anchor at the only station in town. And I look back now and I'm like, I had no business doing that.
But I'm sure you were like so excited too.
Oh, yeah. And my very first day, there was a tornado that leveled the town. So my first live shot ever for local news was like in the middle. I mean, my car was completely totaled. The town was destroyed. Mm-hmm. There were dead babies in trees. Like 11 people died.
Oh my God.
But in one sense, I was like, oh, this is, you know, I'm destined to start the news this way my very first day. And so I had months and months of tornado recovery stories, cleanup stories, and it was intense. Yeah.
Look, what kind of anchor were you then? Were you like, I'm ready for this and like ready for everything. And like I imagine there's a lot of different personalities, especially in the beginning.
Well, I think I had 10 jobs there because I would come in, I would have to find my story, like research what I was going to do. I had to shoot my story with the camera equipment, and I sprained my back twice because it was like 1,000 pounds. I had to drive myself there in the news car, and then I had to come back and I had to edit it tape to tape.
You did that all yourself?
And I had to write the story. Then I would jump up on the anchor desk. I would roll the prompter. I'd help produce the newscast too and like tweak the stories. I mean, it was crazy. It was the skinniest I've ever been because I was just like, I was so, so busy, but I loved it. And then of course, after the day was over, I would go to this bar right down the street from my house and slam back vodka sodas and chicken wings.
That sounds like so much fun. I'm also thinking of To Die For. Have you seen that? Now I'm comparing this to every movie.
To Die For is like one of my favorite
really?
Movies.
I just saw
ever.
That recently.
Although I wasn't, you know, she's like what's the word, like ignorant about what to do. Like,
yeah.
I watched, I mean, from third grade on, mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to be on the news. I watched the news with my dad. My dad to this day, like, just was a constant news mm-hmm. junkie. So I knew I wanted to do that. And I was always like writing for my school's newspaper or shadowing mm-hmm. real reporters or doing whatever I could. So I was, you know, in college, I was doing stuff on like local television channels and stuff. Yeah, it's just, I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So I knew the path. I wasn't like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to do it. Trust me, there were those girls who like their parents knew Rudy Giuliani or something and they had an internship. And
yeah.
they really were like delusional that they thought that they were so hot that they were, because they were blonde, that they were just going to start out on Fox News Channel. Mm-hmm. It's like, you guys, you have to make your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You have to know what it's like to be like trying to tell a story and having feedback in your ear and then, you know, talk when your stuff doesn't, your tape doesn't play and be dealing with all of the elements out in the wild with people harassing you and just crazy.
Yeah, that's such a good point that I certainly have never thought about like what it's actually like when someone's in your speaking and there's like a million things going on at once, like you have to obviously get very good at like juggling so many things mm-hmm. and keeping like that straight safe face, because I think it's like you're also like selling like groundedness and control and like the new like right. anchors have to have it together and like the things that I'm sorry like but the things that you guys like talk about, like I mean,
it's tough.
It's I can't even imagine.
Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I am the person responsible for telling Angeles this information. But it really is up to me. I mean, if I'm out, because I also report. So if I'm out on a story and I'm in court and like I have to quickly wrap up a story, I mean, it could be a very involved story of some case that's been going on for 6 weeks and there's like 1,000 articles and of all this legal jargon that I don't freaking know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, be on the air in half hour because the verdict's coming down and you're like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, kiss, keep it simple, stupid. Like you're telling someone on a third grade level what the issue is, like, okay, it just, you just have to remember to like keep it simple because you can get very overwhelmed.
How do you keep your emotion out of it? Like, do you have to turn off a certain part of yourself to, and like be like, I'm just reading, like for tough stories,
right?
You know, like I'm just reading the words on a prompter right now.
It is tough. I feel like I am an empath, so mm-hmm. I have taken on people's vibes. I mean, it's hard to be with a family who has just lost their only child and they're crying. I mean, I've cried during stories. I've cried on the news, like reading stories and things. I just try to every day, like protect myself with a bubble
yes.
of light or a sparkly rainbow cube to keep all the bad juju away.
Yeah. Do you visualize?
And then I come home and I have to find a healthy way to relieve that stress and emotion since I'm sober. But mm-hmm. that's why there are so many alcoholics and drug addicts in the news business.
Oh, really?
Because everyone is looking for a way to numb that stuff out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been an emotional or draining year. While so many people haven't worked this past year, like I've worked more than ever and done more shows and it's exhausting.
Yeah. Like, isn't it hard to be like, you know, like 3,000 reported deaths today. Back to you, Tom. And it's like, wait.
Every day has been a grim milestone starting from like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
One case to yeah. wherever we're at now. And I hope it's winding down.
Yeah. And then, so what do you do to I guess I'm curious about like what a day in the life is like.
It's different because if you're anchoring, then I go in and I anchor all 5 shows on the weekends.
Oh.
And that's just a lot more of like, you know, being on for the whole time.
Which is exhausting.
Well, you
Wait, am I being a bitch?
How?
Am I? Okay. So
how are you being a bitch?
And I
admire
exhausting.
You being able to do comedy.
Describing, I can understand that like this is, to me, like hearing this, I'm like, wow, this like takes a lot of energy. Like it could be draining. Like I'm sure you've learned over the time of like working at this job for many years, like all of the tricks and ways to protect yourself. I guess I'm interested in hearing about that stuff too, because I feel like it'd be useful to people.
I have to remember that this is what I've always wanted to do. Yeah. Did I get into the business? Did I know how much death and destruction it was going to be? That's more local news. On the national scene, it tends to be more political. Okay. I've also spent a lot of time covering entertainment, which was fun, doing red carpets and interviewing celebrities and everything. So my career has had a lot of different experiences, which I'm grateful for. And I think now I'm just trying to figure out, like, if it's exactly what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I do feel compelled to help people in the recovery space or mind bleeping themselves out of their chronic pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a huge, like, self-help book reader. Yeah. And I guess people say I'm motivational and inspirational. So maybe that's an avenue that I could go down in the future. Because it does get to you, I don't know how people have been able to, you know, the 60-year-old reporter. Oh, my gosh. One of the Fox 11 reporters was just, like, run over by a car.
Oh, my God.
While reporting on the street. He's, like, in the hospital. And I'm like, gosh, this has got to be a sign for him to retire.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that happens out on the field, in the field. But I meditate every day, 20 minutes.
TM?
Cause I just do it once a day. So I'm not morning and night. Just anytime during the day, I get it in, and then I will set my phone for 20 minutes and I will just journal, like, put my rage on the page, like, right to my subconscious. And then that is very comforting to me to be, I'm able to, like, de-stress by doing the journaling. And I love to do yoga or go for a walk on the beach. All of those things are a healthy way to cope with feelings, emotions.
And then, like, when you're doing 5 shows in a weekend, like, how do you keep up your energy from that when you have to be on?
I enjoy doing that because it's kind of like you're doing a play. I would imagine that's how they feel. I mean, obviously there's no one standing up and being like, woohoo, great job. I'm sure there's a high involved in that, but it is what I enjoy doing, like performing and telling people about the news. Like, I feel like there is a purpose to what I'm doing. And then we get to, on those newscasts, we cover the world news, or we cover obviously the weather and entertainment news and tech news and all of that. So it's a great way to learn what's going on.
Yeah. And are you're probably always tapped into what's going on.
Yes, because it's coming through on my phone. Like, I know
faster than other people
from KTLA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you were on Twitter and following certain accounts, like the scanners or the police scanners or like fire departments and all of those things. And now with Citizen.
Yeah.
I love that app.
I have it too, but I've deleted it and re-downloaded it several times.
Well, I noticed having Citizen and also the Ring app, which is through like the neighborhood thing or whatever, I'm constantly getting bombarded with like crime that's happening nearby. So it's, you definitely can't really have the ignorance is bliss attitude with those two apps.
Yeah.
Plus being on the news. So, I have thought about just like, I think I want to take like just a break from my phone, because if you don't have your phone and TV, then you just won't know any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's like getting like the ping that like creates cortisol in your body. And like, you know, right now I've been sober companioning.
Okay.
Yeah. And the company that I work for, we have like a, you know, Slack. Or like, it's an app, like a WhatsApp sort of thing. Oh, okay. We have like channels, and if you have your notifications on, you're getting like pinged all day long with stuff. And like, I had to turn it off, my notifications off. Sorry if anyone from work is listening to this, but I had to turn them off, 'cause I was like, this was like stressing me out. Like,
do you
I
have
couldn't
notifications for Instagram?
No,
yeah,
I don't
have any of those either.
I just have it for, that would be so crazy. For if I had it for my social media. Yeah, I don't like, I try to have like, I try to work on having like a healthy relationship with like
Instagram
too. Yeah. And like what I like take in and stuff. And I always feel stupid saying that I don't like to like read the news a lot.
Look, I will tell you that every therapist out there, mm-hmm. and every meditation teacher and every yoga teacher, I hear it all the time. Even my facialist, mm-hmm. was spouting it out on Instagram, turn off the news, turn off the, mm-hmm. news. And then I wrote a comment but what if you are the news? Then what do you do? And no one has they don't have an answer for that. Then just protect yourself. I get the, mm-hmm. same thing. Just protect yourself with that light. Just be the light in the news and the bad news. But I realize how I am the bearer of bad news, mm. and I'm so much more upbeat and positive that, yeah. I don't know if it's giving me a balance or if it's bringing me down or what, but
you're probably able to take it though with more of a grain of salt.
Well, I'm definitely more jaded.
Okay, yeah. Or I guess yeah.
Most people are oh my gosh, that happened. I'm
wait until 15 minutes from now. There's something else coming. Yeah. Well, you probably don't get stuck on things.
There are weekends where, so we've been all COVID this past year, and now we're back to just all the shootings and the hit and runs. And there'll be a time where the first 20 minutes of the show, it's we toss it over to the weather guy and I'm oh my gosh, whoa, that was heavy. Mm-hmm. Switching gears now to some lighter news. It's sunny out. Thank God we don't live in Seattle.
How has this affected your relationships? The tools that you learn from that? If you have to break some sort of or start an uncomfortable conversation with someone in your personal life, are you able to do it? Are you able to take kind of what you learn from that? And
I'll be I just covered a story about a woman who had 98% of her body burned off today. Oh, I just interviewed a woman who had her arms and legs, chopped off because she got some sudden illness with someone who just had a mudslide come through and completely destroy their house. Or, I just went to five people's houses that just burned down and they have nothing left. Your problems, you think and it makes you appreciate, mm-hmm. life so much more. Cause, mm-hmm. I see the freak stuff. We cover all the freak accidents and all that, a lot of the stuff I would say, and cops will tell you this too, 99% of it is drug and alcohol, mm-hmm. or shadiness, mm-hmm. Gambling debts. It's not as freak as we think, with the murders and stuff like that. But there's usually some shady story
that's
going
fun.
On. But then, I think that's why the freak accidents are the hardest. Cause it's, mm-hmm. Wow, that could have been you or, mm-hmm. me. And that's so sad. And after having kids, the job got more intense because, mm-hmm. it's just a different level of understanding a relationship between a parent and a child to now see someone lose their child. Mm-hmm. So
you mentioned a facialist, your skin's incredible. Oh. I need to know what an anchor's beauty and skincare and what their whole life is like.
Well, I will tell everyone, and it's not an ad. I'm not an influencer for them. But I did see it on Instagram and ordered it. And I think it's only $50 right now. It's this little egg facial thing.
Yeah.
So you just put a little bit of distilled water in it. And for 15 minutes, it's a steamer. And I've been doing that twice a week. And sometimes I'll put a mask on it. And then get the steam.
Okay.
I'll be getting that. Steam rooms. Mm-hmm.
I miss Korean spas. Olympic. Yeah.
Yes. I love Olympic. Yeah. Some people think it's a little too crowded, but I love those little ladies in their bra and underwear and their skin.
I know. Which other
down.
One though?
Well, I've been to Wii Spa as well.
Olympic is so much nicer. I feel like.
I like Olympic. Yeah. And then I've been to Korea and done spa there. So
I bet that's amazing.
My mom is so funny. Probably 15 years ago, she got obsessed with everything Korean and Korean dramas and became a blogger for Korean dramas.
Really? That's
and
so
has
fun.
All these Korean friends. So we went to Seoul in 2015 together.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I know all about the, I actually have a couple, Korean beauty products that I got from when I was over there.
Like this nail serum. Isn't that
yes.
Corsex.
Yes.
That
but
brand?
there's these, masks on Amazon that are really good. The sheet masks that are, mm-hmm. only $2 a piece that they're it says they're the number one mask in Korea. But then I've had Korean people tell me, no, that's good. So
Ooh. Okay. I'll have to get the names. And then, so what else besides theme?
Well, I think that the fact that I have 11 and a half years sober, that's got to help. I do get Botox. I get Botox partially for my headaches, so it's covered by insurance, yeah, which is helpful. I mean, I stay out of the sun, mm-hmm, and those are my secrets.
Do you get a lot of facials? Because your skin's so clear, too.
I do get facials, yeah. I have three different facials. One of the KTLA makeup artists does facials. I just did microneedling.
Oh.
With her. Mm-hmm. And then my nail lady also does microdermabrasion. So she like gets the layer off. And then the one that Jim, my now husband, who you know, he came with his own facialist.
I love that. Wait, didn't he used to go to Olay? He told me about going to Olay Henriksen.
Yeah, and that's where he met Angela Caglia, who has her own line. So she hasn't been doing anything. I haven't seen her in over a year because she was like really freaked out with COVID. So, and then we couldn't get facials for a long time.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I met him, you know, in that first year, just socially. And I remember he somehow the topic of facials came up and he told me he went there, and now I've been going there ever since. Has, just because I live near there.
He has he is missing steaming because we'd have dinner during my break and he'd always come from Equinox and he would have his you know steam session. I'd be like, oh my god, your skin's amazing. So he's introduced me to some beauty products as well.
Yeah. Oh, and then wasn't your wedding supposed to be at Hotel Marincon?
Yeah.
Wait, I went there on my honeymoon.
No way. That's where you stayed?
Yeah, we stayed. It was incredible. He had mentioned it to me at some point.
It would have been
maybe when I went to dinner with him and Bobby
there
one night.
Yeah, well, we couldn't go. We still can't even go. So the wedding planner, like, we lost all this money. And then she's like, well, you can have the credit through 2021. And I just emailed her and I'm like, what if, we can't get there in 2021?
I was sober companioning in Malibu at a rehab, and the news was on TV, and it was your wedding on the TV. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, I know them.
Yeah, so we just did it on our roof because I didn't want to wait. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want to be like, okay, well, for, you know, 2 years or 3 years out. I say this. If I had been hesitant about the relationship, I definitely would have said, sure.
Let's
have a 5-year engagement. Mm-hmm. But I was so sure with Jim, and we had already, you know, we planned a year engagement anyways. We'd been together 3 years, and a smaller wedding is just easier. And then we zoomed it. Like, we had like it was like, I felt like I was getting married on The Bachelor because
that's
it was a whole
so
production
fun
crew up there. And we had over 200 people watching on the Zoom feed.
Wow. Yeah. So I remember,
KTLA put it on.
Yeah. That's so cool. Was that like a fun experience? Like a weird experience, or was it like, this is my life already?
It was perfect. Mm-hmm. But when you bring up Hotel Marincanto, everyone should Google that. I'm like, man, that would have been so dope. But you know what's interesting is that that time when we were supposed to go there, mm-hmm, we checked the forecast and the entire week was 50 degrees and raining.
Oh, no. So yeah, you want to go when it's
so
beautiful and you can go in the water,
right,
of course.
But who knows if we would even been able to pull it off weather-wise with the beautiful scenic, mm-hmm, background. So.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be there when it's overcast because obviously it's so
scenic.
But
we'll get there one day.
But about that hotel, what I loved about it. So when we went there, like they cleaned our room like 3 times a day.
Oh, nice.
And like I love hotels. And it's like sometimes you'll stay at like a nice hotel and like they'll like never come and do housekeeping.
That's
and
what's happening during COVID. If you
I know. And it's so annoying. So now me and my husband keep like recalling back to the times when we were in Italy, like they clean the shit out of your rooms. Not that we had messy rooms, but like we'd go out for like breakfast and we'd come back and the room would smell like bleach and there was no sign of anyone there. And we'd be like, when did they come here? And I remember specifically, like, they were constantly cleaning that hotel.
Oh, well, yeah, we have a credit there, so we'll have to go at some point.
Yeah.
I've lost like so many, not so many, but two tickets, and I fought it with my credit card, mm-hmm. and I can't get either of them back. I was supposed to go to Romania, and then I was supposed to Albania, because that was the one place that Americans were allowed in during uh-huh. COVID, but both trips were canceled and I can't get the money back. And so now I'm like, all right, well, if I want to use this credit, but the airlines have doubled everything. It's like $2,000 to go anywhere in the world now. So
that's so fucked up. Oh. What nationality are you?
Half Irish.
Oh, okay.
And mixed.
Oh, okay.
It used to be Ofriel two generations ago. So my dad says.
That's fun.
I'm just white blonde girl.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was thinking, I was like, oh, are you Albanian? Oh. And I just didn't, you just wanted to go there for fun.
Yeah. I was supposed to go with a couple of girls from KTLA. We were going to go to Albania because it was like the only place Americans were allowed in mm-hmm. during COVID. We were supposed to go in March mm-hmm. 5th, but then the flight over was canceled and then you have to worry about getting the COVID test to come back into the country. Mm-hmm. We were only going to go for 3 days. I was like, because I can only do like quick little trips because I have the kids and work and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to have to figure out where in Albania to get a COVID test to come back mm-hmm. into the U.S. It's just annoying. And then, I don't want to do I personally don't want to do a 15-hour trip in a mask.
No.
On a plane.
No. Yeah.
But I'm stubborn and I'm like, well, wait, if I have these credits that are only good for this year, I don't want to throw $800 away or $700 away.
Totally. I mean,
and my bank was like, too bad. You can't, they tried to fight it and it's through Expedia, which I'm never booking through again.
Ever.
And I call them like so many times. I'm like, oh, I've been an Expedia booker my entire life. And I'm telling you right now, I will never book it again if you don't help me. Cause they canceled the flight and then they were like, well, they have an email. It was like, mm-hmm. you can get a refund.
Yeah.
And my friend that I was going with, she got her refund mm-hmm. and every time I call, it's been a disaster. They're like, oh, we can't get in touch with the airline.
That's crazy. That's so unfair. I think there's a lot
first
of that happening
problems.
All over.
It's yeah. first world problems.
Yeah.
So.
Wait,
I mean, everyone's gotten screwed in some way.
Yeah.
And the fact that we were still able to thankfully pull off the wedding during mm-hmm. the lull, it was right before it got crazy again with everything shutting down and like them banning multiple households and things like
Did
that.
Did you get to do like a little honeymoon yet? Or are you planning something?
So we went to Cabo for a few days.
Oh, okay.
And that was also before the 10-day quarantine started because now with work, we can't go anywhere because mm-hmm. Work is making us quarantine for 10 days because the county mm-hmm. is. So it's like, well, I'm not going to take 10 days off as my vacation mm-hmm. to like, yeah. So it's just, we will be, this too shall pass.
Yes.
Well, I feel even stupid discussing these like first world problems, as I mentioned, when I know people who have lost their parents from COVID.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So do they teach you speech tricks when you're in, is that like when you're in class for broadcast journalism? Like, I know like the whole thing of like holding the pencil in your mouth and talking. Do you remember that?
No. And I have learned like a couple like unique New York, red leather, yellow leather, Franklin through Fred, three free throws, seven silly sheep slowly shuffled south. Those are things I've learned over the years that I'll say sometimes before I track like a piece to put my voice on a report. But my career, I have avoided having consultants. There are stations out there that have these consultants that tell you what to do. I've kind of always just been me. The only exception was when I hosted the World Poker Tour. They wanted me to sound like Ben Stein and perform like Ben Stein. And I was like, what? They said, you're too newsy. You're
past guest of the podcast, by the way.
He's been on mine too. Yeah. I love Ben. He's so nice. And I've told him that story multiple times. So I'm like, tonight on the World Poker Tour.
They want you that to
it was
be
ridiculous.
Funny.
Like, so I did three episodes and then they said they wanted to meet with me and it was kind of, I felt a little ambushed and that I went in and it was like seven producers mm-hmm. and the show creator and they had a camera there and they're like, so you're too newsy, you're too entertainment tonight, too mm-hmm. like which they hired me. Like, I had like 6 auditions. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, they're like, we want you to be like Ben Stein. And I was almost in tears. Like, are you serious? Because I was supposed to be like the girl that's like, hey, we're in Vegas. Hey, we're in Paris. Hey, yeah. We're in whatever. You know, like someone's going to win $1 million tonight. And they just, and I'll never forget one of the clips you saw me roll. They didn't cut me out rolling my eyes.
Well, I guess that's like,
and
they
then
thought
the producers,
it was funny.
We do it and they'd be like, okay, do it your way just for fun. Like, how would you do it? Like, it was super bizarre. So, but that obviously I wasn't into poker at all. I'm not into sports. So it was 1 year of my mm-hmm. life and I got to go to like a bunch of different casinos all around the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that. But in news, I've always been able to, for the most part, be myself. I mean, I feel like now I'm just on so many serious stories that you can't really show personality.
Yeah.
But you can in a very, like, I've had a lot of viewers say like, oh, we love your style. Cause it doesn't sound like you're just reading. Cause there are a lot of anchors out there who just read stuff and it's like, they have no inflection in anything. And it just seems like they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Like, cause it's very interesting. You can be reading and reading the prompter and thinking about other things at the same time. Like, I'll have like a total different, like, conversation going on in my head about something when I'm reading a story, but I try not to, I try to be very present.
Have you ever said something accidentally because you were thinking about something else?
No, I mean, obviously sometimes you say like
the wrong word.
Words accidentally, but no. I mean, I did, apparently the other night I said bursted, but I meant to say bursting, but I don't even remember saying it, but I had like some guy being like, and it was literally like, who did you sleep with to get there? You know? Yeah. Like, you're such are you drunk? Like, you're such an idiot, whatever. And I was like,
how could you not mess? I would mess.
And I'm like, I mean, I shouldn't have even engaged them. Yeah. I was like, at 11 years sober, I totally just drank a 6-pack before going on the air just for you. And then he was like, this isn't the first time you've messed up. Who did you sleep with to get that job? And
ew.
Then I immediately blocked.
Yeah.
And deleted the comment. And I was like, okay, that's why you don't engage with these people ever, because then they just want to go at it with you. So if I have a bad Instagram comment, which for the most part I have great viewers, but it's like how many words? It's like telling a baseball player, like, you're such an idiot. You got a strike. Like, out of all the at bats ever, out of all the 5 hours a night that I'm on the air, it's like, every now and then.
How could you not?
And I wanted to be like, and guess what? My co-anchor said ass accidentally.
Yeah.
Like, that came out of his mouth.
Yeah, it's like, you fucking try. Sorry, but I'm exactly. I'm sure.
And the worst is when like you're doing breaking news at like a mass shooting or something, or going around from at a fire house to house to house where all the houses have burned down, and you're interviewing lots of people, and like something comes out, like, you can't please everyone.
Yeah.
And breaking news, like during the looting stuff. Oh my gosh, it was so hilarious because I would get tweets, and I posted a couple series of them where people would be like, To the extent of saying like, you're being so Democrat about this and you're being so conservative about it, or you're being like so Republican and whatever, like it was people thinking, how can you be so this? And then how can you be so that? But they're the complete opposites of each other. It's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, haters are just always going to hate. And I've learned to not take it personally. And I've learned to just like, I see that and I immediately block the person and delete them. And I'll respond. I'll be like, you do it. You be live for 13 hours and please everyone.
Yeah. Like, or it's like, then watch a different fucking channel. Sorry, I'm cursing because I'm angry.
Right. Well, I don't know how. I mean, I did New York's Funniest Reporter, and I did 8 minutes at at Comic Strip Live. Mm-hmm. And I had like a celebrity comedian mentor. Mm-hmm. We put together something, and thankfully I was just like, oh my god, please let me remember it and don't let me throw up, because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know how comedians do it. So
yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess it's probably like in the same way that, well, like a question that I had in my mind was like, oh, I wonder if you get nervous, but I think it's just your job. So I'd say it's just the same for stand-up too.
Yeah. In the earlier days, I would get nervous going live. I mean, mm-hmm. I have to prepare what I'm going to say. I can't just wing it. I've learned mm-hmm. too many times. If I try to wing it, then it's not going to be.
Mm-hmm. But is it on the prompt?
Well, prompter, when you're anchoring, prompter, right? Yeah. When I'm anchoring, that's all on the mm-hmm. teleprompter.
Yeah.
But out in the field, no, like you have to, and I write my own stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, okay, I'm going to say like these two sentences before I toss to video or toss mm-hmm. to my package report, which I have written and we've edited and stuff.
And was it competitive? Like as you were working your way up, to become like an anchor and kind of like, is it like, there's like only a few spots and it's like, you know, which woman is going to get it? Like, was there like any of that?
A lot of people, they say like you have to die off at a lot of these places. And it's true. Mm. I mean, that's why I've been on weekends for 8 years, because none of the weekday people want to leave.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're in LA. I mean, the turnover is mm-hmm. very low. And look, it's a challenging job. It's not all glamorous. And that's why like there's, you know, 20,000 LA girls who just want to do entertainment reporting because mm-hmm. they're like, they don't want to cover murders. And they don't, yeah. I mean, cause that stuff's hard and it is emotionally challenging. And you know, it is, you have to use your brain and it's not, you know, fun or mm-hmm. glamorous. And you're like peeing in like the woods and you're at fires and you're in the cold and you're in the rain. I think I have PTSD. Like every time it rains, I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna have to stand in it.
Yeah. What do you prefer in the studio then?
Of course.
Oh, obviously. Right. Okay.
Of course. I mean, it's definitely good to go out and meet the viewers. That's where you're really hearing about you're meeting the people mm-hmm. And you have to know, like, reporting helps you anchor, because how many stories have I done about like earthquakes or about fires? And I've learned all of those things from covering the stories out in the field. And then when I'm anchoring, and if we're anchoring a fire, if we're anchoring car chase, or if an earthquake just happened, then it's like, oh, okay, I remember that from when I covered that story.
Mm-hmm. And then... So, So tell me about your book and why you decided to write it and what that has been like for you.
Yes. If you are interested in my recovery story and more crazy news stories or crazy stories in general, it is Tonight at 10, Kicking Booze and Breaking News, only available on Amazon. And when I had 6 years sober, I came out with it like publicly on my, you know, to my viewers. People in my life knew, but I hadn't put it out there. And the reaction was great.
Was that a conversation you had to have with the network?
No.
You could just say it.
Yeah, because they're not too strict about our Instagram pages.
Oh, so it's on your Instagram.
Well, that's what I meant. Like,
okay, sorry.
Yeah, and then I actually did do a story. My boss and I, we rappelled down a 26-story building for this addiction charity Shatterproof. Mm-hmm. And so I talked about it on the air. I was like, oh, you know, this is meaningful for me because I have like 7 years sober at the time. And then I had put together like a charity event. So I've been very open about it. And, you know, I don't go into like too many details with the program and stuff like that. But I try to just show people that you can still have fun mm-hmm. being sober. Your life is not over. It's not boring. And like, I'll share like, oh, hashtag sober fun. Like I went out sober dancing tonight, mm-hmm. whatever. And so I wanted to write the book because I had gotten so many DMs from people asking like, well, what was your story? How did you do it? What advice do you have? My son is, you know, X, Y, and Z. Do you have any tips? Blah, blah, blah. And like, I can't write everyone back in a tweet or even an Instagram post. So I was like, it would be really good just to have like a book that I can. And now that's great. Cause I'm like, I just send them like the link. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the whole reason was to help people. It wasn't to make money or get famous or anything. Although the movie is being picked up. I'm sorry. The book is being picked up as a movie.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, Margot Robbie to play me.
Yes.
I actually know her manager and I pitched it to them. Before.
Isn't it Chris? No, Kevin.
Gabriel. Gabriel Cohen.
Different person now then.
Cause I wanted her to have like first dibs on it. And they said she's doing something else that's similar. So it wouldn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's the Barbie movie. I know she's playing Barbie.
Yeah. But I feel like that's not similar. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. I've just surrendered the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like if it's, so whatever it's meant to be. So they've written a treatment so far for it.
And is it already at a, Oh,
Zero Gravity Management. They you know, picked up the option to turn it into like a movie. They really wanted to kind of be like a character that you root for.
Yeah. Stuff, so. That's so exciting. Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
Is that like, wow, that's so cool. Like,
that is cool. But I also,
or is it
know,
just like, oh, that's cool. Or
I
is it
also
like,
know just like from my husband being a screenwriter, how mm-hmm. long it takes for things yes. to happen. And if they ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I like when I say my prayers, I'm like, please help, you know, Juliet's the writer. I'm like, please help Juliet to write an awesome script and have a great actress get attached with it and have the movie be made. And like, so that it will help people.
Yeah.
Cause that's the whole mm-hmm. point. Like, let's get the message out. And then they can, they're interested in what the book says. They can read that after.
And does it detail what it was like?
Oh yeah. So many, the first thing I did was read all these other addiction books because I mm-hmm. wanted to have something to compare it to. And I noticed that everyone just kind of told all the crazy stuff and then what rehab was like. And then they were like, I got sober at the end. And I was like, well, wait, are those people still sober? Mm-hmm. And then what happened? So I didn't want it to just be a drunkalogue.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the first two chapters. I talk about all the crazy stuff. Chapter three is rehab. Then it's like the early sobriety, then getting divorced, then dating sober, then dealing with, you know, crazy, stressful news stories and chronic pain, and then how to have fun sober.
And then it's interesting too, because it's like you were sober. You've had this job throughout the course. So before being sober and then after, mm-hmm. which I feel like I have only done stand up sober. So I have nothing else to compare it to.
Oh, wow.
Like,
well, that's good.
Well, I started 8 years ago, but then I relapsed. So like, but still like I had never, technically it's been like 8 years.
Okay.
Of sobriety, but right. since I did relapse, like I can only say five now, you know? So
I know it's unfair that it's
I
like
know.
That, right?
And I hate that I even have to like want to point it out. I need to let
was
go
it a
of
long
it.
Long relapse?
It was for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was a crazy 2 weeks.
A crazy bender.
Very. Which just shows me I need to be sober.
Right. You cannot drink like a normal person.
No, absolutely not. So yeah. Like what was your experience like? Like, was it so much different? Like after, like I imagine like, obviously like everything is so much easier when you're sober.
Well, see, I used to, it did change because I used to like get up at 4:30 in the morning and I'd take a couple Adderall and get on my mini elliptical and I would mm-hmm. search for all these story ideas. And then I was like, I didn't give a fuck, you know, I was like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was totally like wild and crazy. And like my audience loved that. But then when I got sober, first of all, I was so tired. Like that first year, I think I just slept the entire time mm-hmm. and I could not wake up and I just didn't have the energy to like hunt for those stories anymore. But I gained a filter and I gained the calmness and the presence, and then throw meditation into the mix. And that helped me so much more. And that was at year five when I started meditating. So I don't know. I mean, I still am myself. Like I kind of am just like, what you see is what you get. And that's what viewers like about me too. And as far as personality with alcohol, cause I was really shy.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started drinking, my personality, like I just came out of my shell mm-hmm. and I was like fun and funny and all that. And so when I got sober, I became like, I felt more dull at first, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but now I'm like the crazy fun person that alcohol made me be, but without it, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And then have you watched The Morning Show?
Yeah.
I hate to like come yeah. bring up all these other.
No, The Morning Show's great, except for the part where they're doing the reporting stuff. That was awful. I wish
I was curious. Like,
I wish
how
I could have been a consultant.
It was.
And a lot of news people have said the same exact mm-hmm. thing. Like she's great when she like cries and you know, all that. But like when Reese and Jen are doing their reports, especially Reese in the field, like she's like holding the microphone like so close to her mouth.
I mean, oh, I'm that's like, so oh. funny. Like noticing those little things. So,
the other thing is I do a lot of the anchor and reporter roles in mm-hmm. TV shows and movies.
That's so cool.
So the copy that is given to mm-hmm. me, I'm like, guys, I would never say it like that. Mm, like mm-hmm. we just wouldn't. And Jim, my husband's a screenwriter. I'm like, well, I always send him the auditions and I'm like, this, why did they write this? I would never in a million years say this.
Yeah.
Cause writers want to put all of these like complicated words into stuff. And in the news, we're very simple. Cause like, and I get upset if there's ever a word that like throws me off in the prompter, that's too big. And I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is that word in there? No one knows what that means. Cause I feel like I'm pretty smart and I've been around and like, so if I don't know a word, then I know Joe Schmo's not gonna
totally.
You know,
know the word. Yeah.
Like we got it. And you know, what's interesting is a lot of people who learned English here in LA, they're like, oh, I used to watch KTLA to learn the English. Cause we speak so basic.
Yeah.
So it's easy for people to learn.
That's cool.
I'm trying to learn Spanish. I should watch some Spanish news.
That's funny.
Although they talk so fast.
Yeah, I can't even, I've never watched it, but I would imagine.
Those hot little Latina girls and their like skimpy outfits.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that brunette reporter in LA.
Fuck, I don't know what network Jeff Bezos.
I don't
Lauren
know.
Lauren Sanchez?
Is she with him? I just remember growing up, like when I would come to California and we'd watch the news, it was always like, there was like one brunette, right? Wasn't it like just like one person who was like the face of LA news? I don't know who I'm talking about. Anyways, thank you so much, Courtney.
Oh, this is so fun.
Yeah. So shout out your social media and when we can watch you on the news.
Friel, F-R-I-E-L. And I'm on KTLA. The easiest times to tell people to watch on Channel 5 are the weekend nights. Because during the week, I'm all over the place. And yeah.
And the book.
Life is good. Yeah.
Tonight at 10, Kicking Booze and Breaking News on
Amazon.
Thank you so much.
It's so great to finally meet you and be on your podcast.
Bye. Bye.